Yeah, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything you've done up till this point. Thank you for everyone you've used up till this point. Father God, we just pray that as we break the bread of life, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon that which we have to say. Bless us in a very special way as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. For a couple of weeks now, on Wednesdays, we have been looking into what it takes to get to heaven. And in doing so, we've been looking at the 15th division of the book of Psalms as we looked at what the requirements of God are to get to heaven. In the process of our study last Wednesday, I made a statement that considering what God's requirements are for heaven, the number of people that will be allowed into heaven will be far, far less than the number of people that are allowed into churches. That is why this morning I would like to bring you a message titled The Final Count. The Final Count. Every Sunday in every church there is a head count of those that are present in the church. Some count the attendees during Sunday school, and then count those who are present during the worship service. It would be a wonderful thing if all who are counted on Sunday morning are also counted with the heavenly citizens. But alas, God's count is always different and usually far less than man's count. If you will turn with me your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, I'm reading from verse number 23. Someone asked the Lord a question. And it is that question that is the focus of our study this morning, the final count. Luke chapter 13, verse 23 through verse 28. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? What a question. Say, Lord, I've been wondering about how many people will get to heaven. I've been wondering what the final count will be. He was wise to go to the right person. If he had gone to the Pharisees would have told him that all Pharisees will get to heaven. If he had gone to the Sadducees would have told him that only the Sadducees will get to heaven. But he went to the Lord who had been in heaven and who knew who will get there and who will not get there. He said, Lord, are there few that will be saved? The answer that the Lord gave is one that is worth listening to. It's interesting that when Jesus answered, he didn't answer this man alone. It was a man that came with a question and said, Lord, are there a few that will be saved? But when the Lord gave the answer, he gave it to everybody, because the last part of verse 23 says, and he said unto them, not unto him. You see, the message for this morning is for everybody. There are times when we preach and the message is only carved out for a group of people. If we preach on healing, for example, those who are sick don't need that message. If we preach on sanctification, those who are sanctified don't need that message. If we preach on specific subjects for specific people, then those who are outside that circle don't need that message. But what we're talking about this morning is not only for him, it was for them. So I plead with you to lend me your ears, because you're going to be one of those who are counted in or one of those who are counted out anyway. Consequently, you need to know what it would take to be part of the few, or what it would take to be part of the multitude. So Jesus answered the question, are there few that will be saved, by saying in verse 20. Amazingly, Jesus didn't come and say, well, few will be saved, many will be saved. He made the answer so broad that you will not even have any difficulty understanding what his answer was. Look at the answer in verse 24. Strive to enter. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Doesn't that answer the question? He said, many people will like to get to heaven, but they will not be able to get in. I remember that old song in the 1970s. Not everybody singing about heaven that are getting there. And Jesus made it so plain. He said, listen, many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. They shall not be able to enter in by any power or by any scheme of their own. You know, there are people who think they can enter into heaven because of the money they give. There are people that think they can enter into heaven because of the activities that they do in the church. There are people that think they can enter into heaven for one reason or the other that they think in their mind will get them to heaven. But Jesus Christ said, many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Let me say this. When the Lord said many, he actually was prophesying. In other words, he had seen the future. And he was saying to the people around him, this is what I see. On that day, many will strive to get in, but they will not be able to get it. This is something that is as sure can be. When the last day comes, you are going to find this prophecy fulfilled. That there will be many that will think they will get in, but they will not be able to get in. Then it goes on in verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, wait a minute, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, my Lord have mercy, and thou hast taught in our streets. You see this?
Many who will be excluded from heaven are not people who don't know about heaven. Many who will be excluded from heaven are not people who have not heard about heaven. Many who will be excluded from heaven are people who know Jesus Christ. He says, we have eaten with him, we have drunk with him, we know him, we know his daddy's name, we know his mom's name, we know his brother's name. In fact, we have sat at dinner with him, we have drunk in his presence. Do you know there are people who will be in the presence of God today, but will be absent over there? I hate to say this, but it is true. Do you know there are no guarantees that those of you who are here this morning will be there on the resurrection morning? I hate to make it this plain, but if this scripture is true, do you know that many people who are in churches today and on my way to church this morning have found people with Bibles in their hands, with their husbands, maybe their boyfriends, maybe their girlfriends, maybe their wives, I don't know which one it is, with their children, with Bibles in their hands, going into churches. And in my mind, I said, thinking about this message, I said, I wonder how many people filling up churches today will fill up heaven tomorrow. See, I don't want you to come to church Sunday after Sunday. And I don't want you to come to church and be able to say about God that, you know what, we have eaten in his presence. What is the food we eat in the Lord's house? The bread of life. The word of God. We've eaten in his presence. We've heard the best of sermon anyone can ever preach. Oh, we've even traveled outside the state to attend conferences here and conferences there. We've been there when T.D. Jakes came to town. We were there when Shambach came to town. We were there when Maurice Cerullo came to town. We were there when Benny Hinn was in town. We had the best of sermons. We've witnessed the best of miracles. And yet Jesus Christ said, you can see all that and not be a candidate for heaven. He said, many people will say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence. You know, many people say, well, you know, the church that I go, the presence of God is always there. When you enter, you can't even sit down. You find the glory, the Shekinah of God filling the whole place. The presence of God is awesome in that place. Do you know that that's no guarantee for heaven? He said, because some will come and say, on that day, we have eaten in thy presence. We have drunk in thy presence. And what's amazing? We have also seen you teach. In our spirit. These are people that had a personal knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. But look at verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Let me tell you something that will keep you from heaven. Your lack of financial freedom will not keep you from heaven. No. The attack of witchcraft forces that we talk about here all the time will not keep you from heaven. No. People that stole your destiny before you were born, that will not keep you from heaven. You know what will keep you from heaven? Iniquity. Iniquity in word, iniquity in thought, iniquity in deed. Do you realize there are people who pride in being in churches where the presence of God always is? Do you know there are people who pride in being in churches where the word of God is taught, that they eat and they drink in the presence of the Lord, but their lives are not right with God? And Jesus Christ said, because of that, these people even know the door where to knock. He said they will come and knock the door, and I will say, open the door, open the door, open the door. And I'll say to them, I don't know you, you workers of iniquity. Look at what happens in verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. I pray this will not befall any one of us in Jesus' name. He said, look, folks, this is not something you need to pray about and say, God, don't let this happen to anyone. It is going to happen to somebody. Because he said it. He said, these are the things that will happen. For somebody to now stand and say, God, I cancel that. Let it never be. You're wasting your time. This has been prophesied that some people are going to be shut out. In fact, not that some people are going to be shut out. Many people are going to be shut out. You know what you need to be concerned about? Not that this will never happen. It will happen. You can fast for 40 days and 40 nights. This is going to happen. The Lord has spoken it. You know what you need to be concerned about? No wonder the writer said, walk out your own salvation. With what? With fear. And with what? And with trembling. Folks, some people will be locked out of heaven. Oh, you say, I know some people will be locked out of heaven. How can you be a person who doesn't go to church and not be locked out? Mm-mm. Even people that go to church will be locked out of heaven. Oh, you say, well, I know some people will be locked out of heaven. How can you be a homosexual and not be locked out of heaven? Well, I say to you, there are homosexuals outside the church. Unfortunately, there are homosexuals in the church. They all will be locked out of heaven. So what we're saying is, you yourself, you need to ask yourself, where do I stand? Because many on that day will be locked out. Let me give you another scripture, Matthew chapter 7, in the 14th verse. The final count, what I'm beginning to see over and over again is that the final count is not going to look good, believe me. It's not going to look good. What did he say in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 17? Let's read it together, and then we'll see how many will be saved according to verse 14 of Matthew chapter 7. You all ready? Let's go. Well, let's begin in 13, and then we'll read 13 and 14 if you don't mind. Let's go. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. What's the next statement? Let the church say amen. How many people find it? See, folks, I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but I can say this to you without fear of contradicting the truth, that only few people will get to heaven. Everybody is a child of God down here on earth. But God says when the final count is taken, only few will be there. Have you ever seen the marathon in New York City, or in Boston, or in Chicago? Have you noticed how many people begin the marathon? And when they say go, it's a lot of people. But do you know how many people will first cross the line? Only one. Do you know how many people will not even make it to the end of the race? Multitude. I don't know when you began your own race. But like I said, maybe last Wednesday, maybe 2 Wednesdays ago, it's not the way you started, folks. It's not the way you finish. I mean, it's the way you finish. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Look at chapter 20 of that same book. In the 16th verse of Matthew chapter 20, we read there, these are the words of Jesus again, over and over again. He's telling us the final count is not good. The final count is not good. But you can be counted with a few, or you can be counted with a multitude. 20th chapter, verse 16 of the book of Matthew, it says, so the last shall be the first, and the first shall be the last. Why? Let's read the last part together. Let's go. For many be called. What happened? For few actually. So a bunch of people, a lot of people have been called. But you know what happens at the last? Few of the many that are called will be chosen. Chapter 22. In verse 14, you know, Jesus repeats himself over and over again. You know what I found out about this is that when it comes to this message of who is chosen, who is not chosen, he repeats himself in the Gospels over and over and over again. In Matthew chapter 20, he said, many are called, few are chosen. That wasn't the only place he said that, because in chapter 22, in verse 14, he repeats the same thing. What did he say? He says, let's begin in verse 11, I'll read this to you. And when the king came to see the guests, and he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment, the king invited people to his wedding. Folks, listen to me. He invited people to his wedding. And when you came in through the door, I hope the drama team will be able to act this for us one day. As you come in through the door, you are handed a wedding garment. Because nobody attended the wedding without putting on a special wedding garment. As you walked in, you didn't even have to buy the wedding garment. You didn't have to pay for the wedding garment. It was ready. One size fits all. Oh, you've been invited to the wedding. Here's your wedding garment. The next one, you've been invited to the wedding. Here's your wedding garment. So they gave the wedding garment to everybody that came to the wedding. But there was one man that came to the wedding. As he walked through the door, they handed him the wedding garment. And you know what he said? I don't need this. What I got on is good enough. Why do you have to put something on me that is not mine? I don't want to have anything to do with this. And they said, but the master said, you must put on the wedding garment in order to be at the wedding. He said, well, that's what he said, but this is what I say. I'm going to put on this and I'll be fine. This is not going to have anything to do with my performance in the wedding. Please, I'm going to be here. And you know what happened? They didn't stop it. They didn't stop it. They said, all right, come on in. Come on in. How do you see? The master of the wedding will soon be here, and then we'll see what happens. So he joined the people, and they were eating, and they were drinking, and they were rejoicing and getting ready for the wedding. And this is what happened in verse 11. When the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And the Bible says he was speechless. What about all the bragging and the boasting and the, I can be here, I don't have to put on anybody's garment, I don't have to... He couldn't say anything. And the king looked at him and said to the servant, the same servants that pleaded with him to put on the wedding garment, you know what he said to them? He said, bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but without the wedding garment, few are chosen. Can I say something to you? I want to plead with you. You know what gladdens my heart every Sunday? To see people in church makes me happy. During praise and worship, when I stand there and I look at heads of people, it gladdens me. But you know what? The church can be filled with people without any problem. The big question is this: do you have on the wedding garment? You see, the servant couldn't stop this man from being part of the wedding. No, they couldn't stop him. Just like we couldn't stop you from being here. We don't stand at the door and ask you, are you born again? And then you say, no, I'm not born again, sir. We don't want people who are not born again here. No. Last night, what did you do? All week long, what did you do? Do you have the righteousness of God in you? No, everybody is welcome to come to the house of the Lord. But let me tell you something. The fact that you are part of the wedding ceremony doesn't mean that you are accepted to the master of ceremony. The fact that you have a place, the fact that you have a seat, the fact that you have a position in the church does not mean that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is happy with you. He's coming at a time to do some examination. And is going to examine what you and I have on. Some of us have nothing but garments of self-righteousness. Some of us have nothing but garments of religion that we have put on. Some of us have nothing but, my father was in church, my mother was in church, I was born into church, I must be in the church. That's all the testimony many of us have. Maybe some of us, I hope, but the big thing is God's righteousness has to be on you in order for you to be counted among the few that will get to heaven. I plead with you. Don't come here on Sunday and live like a saint, and go out there on Monday and live like a sinner. Don't come here and give an appearance that you are a child of the living God and leave this place and live like the people of the world live. The time is coming when the king is going to examine those who are for him or those who are against him, and those who are not born again, who don't have the garment of righteousness on, the Bible says they shall be thrown hand and foot into the outer darkness, where there shall be weeping, where there shall be gnashing of teeth. I pray that that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, you know what I found out? I found out from examining the scriptures that in everything that God has done to help humanity, only very few have always partaken of those things. And I was shocked. Do you remember, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute, but do you remember, ladies and gentlemen, when Noah was called out to build the ark, and was told destruction is coming upon the face of the earth. Do you know how many people got saved? Let's assume for the sake of this discussion that there were 100,000 people on the face of the earth. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if 10% got saved? But you know what happened? Out of 100,000, and you and I know there were more than 100,000 people on the face of the earth. Out of 100,000 people on the face of the earth in those days, how many people really made it? Eight. What percentage of 100,000 are eight people? I leave the mathematicians to figure that out. But that goes to tell you that when Jesus Christ said, many are called, few are chosen, it is real. Take it serious. Or you say, Pastor, give me another example. You want another example? What happens to Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember how many people were living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember that God gave opportunity for the people in Sodom to get saved? Do you remember he sent out this man, Lot, to go and preach to his in-laws? Do you know his in-laws? They asked him to say, do you have anybody here besides? In-laws on the left side, in-laws on the right side. And he went out to preach to them. And the Bible says he just looked at him and laughed at him. And at the end of the day, of the thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know how many people really got saved? It was Lot, his wife, and his girls. Nobody else got saved. Even their husbands never got saved. Why? Because the city of Sodom was so messed up. In fact, I have a feeling that the city of Sodom is so close to the city of New York. They practice nothing but homosexuality, outright, outwardly. In fact, when they saw the angels, they told Lot, they said, all right, bring us the angels in your house. We want to know them. How many people got saved in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, his wife, his girl, I thought, about four people. What happened to his wife? She got out, but she never got in. You know what my concern about me, first of all, I'm not worried about you, I'm concerned about me, first of all. My concern about me is I've gotten out. But see, there's a journey between here and in. I don't know when in is. And so I'm pleading with you. There's no question. I know many of you one-on-one. I know your work. I know your testimony. I know who you are. I know who you are. But I know you've come out. I know that you've come out. But let me tell you something. You've not gotten in yet. Between your coming out and your getting in, watch out. Let you move from the few and join the multitude. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Listen to me, folks. How many people came out of Egypt? I'm telling you, it's always multitude, 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 but at the end, it's few. Multitude in Sodom and Gomorrah, few got saved. Multitude during the time of Noah, few got saved. Multitude came out of Egypt. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not so much concerned about your coming out. I know you've come out. You know what I'm concerned about? You're getting in. Because between coming out and getting in, you will meet with all kinds of things on the way. You meet with trials. You meet with temptation. You will need a work permit. And somebody will offer you another man's head for your green card. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I bless the name of the Lord for you. But some do. I was telling them on Saturday, on Wednesday, there are people that go to God's house. The name they bear is not the name they bear on their job. In church, we know them as Brother Chukwu Emeka. That's his name in church. That's his real name. That's the one Daddy gave him. But at work, his name is Chuksim. That's part of Chukwu and Emeka, Chuksim. And then we get to the office and we're asking for Chukwu Emeka. I say, who is Chukwu Emeka? Why? Double lie. And he's fixing tongues. He knows scriptures. He has come out. But what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Has trapped him. And God is saying, it's changed from the people. It's joined the multitudes. You know what? I told them on Wednesday. Some of you may be surprised to hear this. But America is not a must in order to make it. If living in America will keep you from living in heaven, get out of America and let your life be right with God. I will not live in this country and have all the things of the world and have all the riches of the world. And at long last, God says, I never knew you. And I said, God, but I was a member of Fresh Anointing International Church. I was this, I was that. God says, I knew all that. We heard the word, we drank the word, we ate the word. God says, I knew all that. But you are a worker of iniquity. And he says, how? I said, don't you remember when you bought your first house? They asked you what your income was. Because you are desperate to get this house, you inflated your income and you deflated your spiritual life. Folks, when it says it's a narrow road, I understand what it means. Many of us say we're born again. Many of us say we know God. But our lives don't back up what we say. How many will be saved? You know what it says? It says peace. There are many things they'll tell you to do. I remember when I was processing my own papers, every foreigner knows what I'm talking about. And I needed some papers. And the lawyer said, no problem. You can come up with the paper yourself.
pray. He said, you don't know how to pray for. So just type it. Get somebody to sign it. And you'll get it. And I looked at him. I said, where do I put God in this? He said, you don't bring God into this. He said, listen, if you hire me as an attorney and you want me to work for you with the professional knowledge that I have, you can't bring God into this. And I said, we can't work together. I'd rather have Jesus than silver, than gold, than the things that the world promises. Folks, only for you. Somebody walks up to you and gives you their green card. He says, take this green card, go and walk with it. You look like me. And you also take it. And at first you are shaking, Holy Ghost, if they catch me. And then you go and fast for 3 days so they will not catch you. They won't catch you, but you're already caught. See, you get a good job, but what about your reputation in heaven? Do you know some of us don't have any reputation in heaven? The angels look at you and they shake their head. And then you say you're having evil dreams. Why won't you have evil dreams with your evil deeds? Folks, let me tell you something. If heaven is worth going, then let's live for it. If heaven is not worth going, then let's live anyhow and walk anyhow and talk anyhow and do anything. I'm saying to you with all love in my heart, only few. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20, turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few. Did you see that? Wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Thank you. Were saved by water. With all the multitudes that lived on the face of the earth, very few were saved. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading from verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, this is talking to Christian folks. Those of you who are eternal security experts, you better watch out for this passage of scripture. He said, moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what else are you looking for? This is deep spirituality here. Well, look at verse 5. But with, what's the next word? Many of them. You know, I don't want to be pessimistic. I just wonder if God were to walk into this room this morning. And if God were to look at me and say, preacher, shut up. Let me prove to you what you are preaching. And if God were to come in here and separate us, and he says, the righteous will go on this side, the unrighteous will go on this side. Those who are living for God will go on this side, and those who are not living for God will go on that side. I'm just wondering how many will be on this side, and how many will be on that side. Folks, the purpose of my message this morning is this. If you say you are for God, then be for real. Don't play no games with God. If you say you are a child of God, let it show forth by your fruits that you are a real, 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 real child of God. He says, but with many, 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 with many, with many, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Can I ask you a question? In all honesty, is God pleased with you? And I'm not going to answer that question for you. I leave it to you and the Holy Spirit to answer that question. Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with the way you talk? Is God pleased with the way you think? Is God pleased with the friends that you have? Is God pleased with what you do behind closed doors? Is God pleased with what you do when no man sees you? Is God pleased with what you do when you write an email to somebody? Is God pleased with what you watch on TV? Is God pleased with what you watch even on the internet? Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with you? Oh, you say my pastor is pleased with me. Well, what does he know? He doesn't know anything. He's just a man that looks at outward appearance. I'm talking about God who looks in the inward appearance. Is he pleased with you? Is he pleased with you? Thank God and looked at Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And if you are to get to where his beloved son is, you bet your life he's got to be able to say that to you also. That this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased. But with many of them, verse 5, God was not well pleased. So what happened to them? They were overthrown in the wilderness. They never got to the promised land. So what are we to learn from this? Verse 6 says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. They also lost it. You know, the number one problem today is lust. Believe me. You watch TV, it promotes lust. You walk on the street, it promotes lust. Amazingly, you even come to church. And there are people that the enemy will plant in the church to promote lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. He says, these people just lost it. And let me say something to you. If you have problem with lust, you are not part of the few, you are part of the many. Why? Are you surprised? Well, he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, he said very clearly when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said very, very eloquently that whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's what the word says. And let the word be true, let all men be liars. He said, he overthrew them because he lusted. Do you know if he does not overthrow you, he will have to apologize to these people. Why are you so special? That they lusted and they were overthrown. And you are lusting and you keep lusting and you hear a message on lusting, but you keep lusting. And God will say, well, he's washed in the blood. And God needs to be charged with double standard. Folks, it's a narrow road. My sermon this morning is not to make it narrower. It's just to show you how narrow it is. If there's anything we're going to do in this church, we're going to preach the truth. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going to make it plain, so plain, you will have no problem understanding what the word says. He said, with many of them, God was not well pleased. He overthrew them in the wilderness. Why? Now these things are written as examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. Fornication is what people who are not married commit. Adultery is what people who are married commit. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. I preached this sermon here a few months ago on lust. And I don't want to preach that sermon all over again, but I can tell you, you know, if you can live a life free from lust, free from fornication, free from adultery, more than likely you'll make it. We live in a day and an age where lust is promoted, where fornication is promoted, where adultery is promoted. You can put 10 rings on your fingers to show you are married, people will still run after you. And you say, well, I resisted it to a point. When I couldn't resist it again, then I yielded. You yielded to what? If somebody put poison in a cup and he says, take this poison. And then you say, well, I resisted for a day. Then the next day I drank it. You won't drink it. You'll do everything to. Excuse me. You want to join the few? After your testimony, everything. Oh, you say, but nobody knows about it. I did it and I covered it up. There's a God whose eyes penetrate darkness. He sees it. You are sitting among the children of God. You are sitting among the saints this morning. You look so holy. You look so pure. Only God knows who is holy. Only God knows who is pure. Only God knows who is clean. Only God knows who is righteous. And I hope you know yourself. He said, don't commit fornication. But some of them committed fornication. You don't have to want to commit fornication. People will offer it to you free of charge. In this present America that we live in, and it's not only in America, it's all over the world. The enemy has spread the spirit of lust and immorality all over the world, and people are just biting, and they are changing from the few to the many. So now let us commit fornication. As some of them committed and fell in one day, 320,000. May that let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. May that murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. But what does the example mean? That God can call you out but not take you in. Your life is not right with God. These things are written for examples, and they happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Let's read verse 12 together. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Numbers chapter 14. Well, hallelujah. The count is not good, folks. It's not good. Only few will make it. Only very, 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 very few. I see sometimes you want to go to a college, and this is a college that everybody wants to go. Then they have rules, stringent qualifications that you must meet. If you don't meet it, you're not going. Numbers chapter 26, let's begin there first. Maybe we'll have time to go to Numbers 14. I don't know, because my time is slipped away again. Numbers chapter 26 and verse 64. My Lord, help me today. But among these, there was not a man. Let's go back to 63. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these, listen to this, folks, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. Now look at verse 65. For the Lord Jesus hath said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. When they were doing the numbering, Moses stood there and said, they are just numbering them. They are not getting there. When they were counting them, he knew, oh no, they are being counted as Israelites, but they are not getting to the promised land. Folks, every Sunday we count people here. We use a small counter, and the brothers go around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and after the service they'll tell me, Pastor, this number of people came to church. But you know, as they count, the angels also are counting. As they press the counter, the angels are following them. As they count, this one is our member, this one is our member, this one is our member. The angels are counting, and they say, count this one out, he's an adulterer. Count this one out, he's a liar. Count this one out, he's a fornicator. Count this one out. I wonder this morning how many they counted in heaven. After they've counted about 3 million people, when God finally finished his own counting, you know how many people were counted? Even Moses was counted out. Don't let those preachers deceive you who tell you everything is fine. You're going to heaven no matter what you do. Look, without holiness, no man shall see God. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. My sermon is not even halfway through yet, but I've got to stop here. because we got something to say. We got to talk back to God, folks. I want you to examine yourself this morning. I want you to look inside your heart. I want you to look inside your life. If God were to walk into this room this morning to count, will you be counted in or will you be counted out? I want you to pray this morning and to say, God, have mercy upon me. Everything in my heart, everything in my life, everything about me that is not like you, I want you to take it out. I want you to wash it out. I want you to cleanse it out. Tell the Lord you don't want to be a professor alone. You want to be a possessor. Because there's a lot of profession in the church today, but there's little possession. Especially churches where they say they believe in holiness, you find out it's nothing but hollowness. It's not holiness. It doesn't show in their lives. I wanted to tell the Lord, I want to be a practical Christian. A practical Christian at home, practical Christian on the street, practical Christian in the train, practical Christian on the job, practical Christian, a practical practicing Christian. That's who I want to be. I wanted to ask God to help you this morning. I wanted to ask him to give you the grace, to give you the power, to give you the strength. I know many of you have come out, but I want to tell you, you have not got in yet. Tell the Lord, anything that will make me not to get in, take it out of my life. Take it out of my way. Take it out of my mind. Take it out of my spirit. Purge me and cleanse me and make me who you want me to be. I wanted to pray this morning with all your heart. And I wanted to tell the Lord, please help me. Please help me. I want to be part of the few. Part of the few in the days of Noah. Part of the few in the days of Lot. Part of the few among the children of Israel. Lord, how many shall be saved? I wanted to ask God to put a love for the straight and narrow road in your heart. Just tell the Lord, put a love for the straight road, for the narrow road, for the straight gate, for the narrow gate. Just give me, oh Lord, a consuming love to stay in this narrow road. I wanted to pray that he should put a distaste in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit for the broad way. Tell the Lord, help me never to be at peace anytime I'm traveling the wide and broad way. I wanted to pray to the Lord and ask him this morning to help you. You see, if you never make it to heaven, they will bring this message up to your remembrance. They will say, didn't you hear the day it was preached that it's only a few that shall be saved? Folks, let's begin to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's begin to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Don't let your children keep you from heaven. Don't let your husband keep you from heaven. Don't let your wife keep you from heaven. Don't let your boss keep you from heaven. Don't let anything keep you from heaven. No matter what anybody has done against you, forgive them. It is lack of forgiveness that makes people to join the many and leave the company of the few. Oh God, touch my heart this morning. If God were to come here to count, oh Lord, whatever will make me to be counted among the many, take it out of my life right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Anything in my heart, anything in my mind, anything in my soul, anything in my spirit, anything that will exclude me from the promised land. Oh Lord, take it out of my heart, take it out of my mind, take it out of my way. I'm telling you folks, only few shall be saved. Tell the Lord, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Come and touch me, come and touch me, come and change me, come and change me, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh Lord, have mercy upon us this morning. I want you to pray, I want you to tell the Lord to do a new work in your heart, to circumcise your heart, to remove everything that is against his word and against his will and against his ways in the name of Jesus, and help you to walk and toe that narrow road. Father, help me this morning in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Everything about my heart, everything about my mind, everything about my soul, everything about my spirit. When the final count comes in, oh God, Let me have my wedding garment on in the name of Jesus. When the final count comes in, let me have my wedding garment on. I want you to pray. If there be any habit in your life, I want you to open your mouth and tell God, this habit in my life, this thing that I keep doing over and over again, and I know it's wrong, blood of Jesus, wash it away, yank it off my heart, and just make me, oh God, to be clean and pure and righteous before you all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, open your mouth and tell the Lord to help you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there be any sin that doth so easily beset you, if there be any weight in your heart and in your life and in your lifestyle, I want you to tell the Lord, take it out, take it out, take it out, take it out, take it out right now. In the name of Jesus, I want to be in good standing with God all the days of my life. Open your mouth and pray right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, that thing that you say is my nature. Tell the Lord, take away my nature. Give me your nature. In the name of Jesus, take away my mind. Give me your mind. In the name of Jesus, take away the way I am. Give me the way you are. In the name of Jesus. You know the Lord can do it. And the Lord will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just have mercy upon me this morning. That's the cry. That's the cry. I want to please you. I want to do that which is pleasing unto you. So help me, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everybody stand, please. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to join hands with whoever is beside you right now. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to tell God that this person whose hand I'm holding, take us both to heaven together. Did you hear what I said? Take us both to heaven together. When the last trumpet sounds, let me not be missing. Let her not be missing. Let him not be missing. And if there be anything in my life and in their lives, take it out right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to open your mouth and pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we should pray one for another. Oh God, this man whose hand I'm holding, this woman whose hand I'm holding, let them be part of the few. I want you to tell God, let him be part of the few. Let her be part of the few in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Anything in their hearts, anything in their lives that will keep them from heaven, take it out of their lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want you to pray and intercede for them right now that the Lord will help them, the Lord will help them, the Lord will help them, that anything and everything that will be a hindrance to their lives, that will be a hindrance in their walk, that the Lord will take it away from them. That where they need purging, the Lord will purge them. Where they need cleansing, the Lord will cleanse them. Where they need purification, the Lord will purify them. In the name of Jesus, tell God, I want to see him in heaven, and I want to see myself in heaven also. Let nothing keep him, let nothing keep her, let nothing keep us both from your heavenly kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, tell them, if there be anything they like that you don't like, if there be anything they love that you don't love, take it away from them right now in the name of Jesus. If there be anything they indulge in that you've been telling them, leave it, leave it, leave it, oh Lord, take it away from them. If by force, do it in the name of Jesus, so they may make it to heaven. Oh God, do it, 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 do it this morning, do it this morning, do it this morning. In the name of Jesus, let them be part of the final count. Let them be part of the final count. Let them be part of the final count. Let them not be counted only on earth and not be counted in heaven. Let them not be the count that Moses counted and said, no, 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 they are only counted as Israelites. They are not Israelites. Oh God, count them in. If there be anything in my heart, if there be anything in their heart, if there be anything in their lives, if there be anything in my life, oh God, take it out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to pray that people around them will not keep them from heaven. What people do to them, what people say to them, what people do about them, what people say about them, they will not react in a way that will keep them from heaven in the name of Jesus. Let them be part of the field. Oh God, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. of the final count. Part of the final count. Anything about me, Lord. Anything about me, Lord. Anything about me, Lord. That is not pleasing to you. Take it out of my life. Take it out of my heart. In the